What is it in your life that you need God to make beautiful today? Today we're going to talk about how, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's possible. It's possible. See, out of the death of Jesus, God used it to not only pay for sin, but defeat death. And that's just what God does. He makes beautiful things out of the difficulty, the loss, and the tragedies of our lives. And through the power of the resurrection of Jesus, he truly makes beautiful things out of us. Out of us. And the reason we're celebrating 2,000 years later, and we're remembering the story of Jesus on Easter, is because it's one of those moments that changed everything. Like, the world shifted when God revealed what Jesus actually came to do. He did come as a king, and he did overthrow the world order. He took the sins of the world, yours and mine, paid for them with his blood. He defeated death, and through the death of Jesus and the resurrection, he created a pathway for you and I to have a right relationship with God. He created a way for us to be in right standing with God, a way to be forgiven and made righteous. Because Jesus announced a new kingdom from the very beginning of his ministry. He just said, look, the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. What does it mean that the kingdom of God has come near to you? You don't have to go find it. You don't have to go to God's kingdom. God's kingdom has come to you through Jesus Christ. And you access his kingdom through repenting and believing. And so Jesus proclaimed, look, a new king is here, a new reign has arrived, a new way of being human is now possible, a new way to exist is available to you. And the kingdom that God, the kingdom of God that Jesus taught about was unlike the kingdoms that we know. It's like Scripture is very clear that there are two kingdoms at work in the world. You've got the kingdom of God and you've got the kingdom of this world. Let's talk about that for a minute. We live in somewhat of a kingdom. We just call it a country. It's called America, and there's other countries out there just like ours. But our country, we have a culture that sets it apart from all the other countries. We have a set of rules that you live by. We've got processes by which you get things done. We have a set of values. We have a judicial system, a family culture, a way that you raise your kids. We have a means of commerce, opportunities to live a free life inside the boundaries of what we call laws. There's like an order to it. And so in the kingdom of this world, there's a way that things work. Like, if you need to pick me up in the morning, there is like a Starbucks within a quarter mile of you at all times. If you're bigger and stronger and you want something, just take it. That story is as old as mankind. If it feels good, do it now. Don't think about the consequences down the road. Live for pleasure today. If you're going to actually drive the speed limit on the highway, stay out of the left lane. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you hear that, you left lane drivers? We're praying for you. Praying for you. He who has the most money makes the rules. To be the greatest, I need to win at all costs, even if it's a little unethical. Hey, raise your kids to be well-adjusted and to pursue happiness for their whole lives as the goal of their life. Get to the top by stepping on anybody that you need to get there. The pinnacle of life is not to serve anyone, it's to be served by everyone. And if someone hurts you, hurt them back. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Like, that's biblical, right? There's a way that our world works. And then Jesus comes on the scene. He starts talking about this kingdom of God, and he says it's new. Like, the kingdom of God is different. Your enemies, don't get them back. Turn the other cheek. If they wrong you, don't get revenge, get a pork tenderloin, invite them over for dinner. Don't let anger and vengeance into your heart, it's toxic. You forgive them, you let God handle justice his way. He is judge and he is jury. In the kingdom of God, the humble flourish. Mercy matters. The last are first. Love defeats evil. Faithfulness matters more than power. Grace is stronger than shame. Forgiveness is stronger than bitterness. And the broken and the weary and the sinful, they are invited in. What Jesus taught about the kingdom of God was beautiful. It was compelling. It was unlike anything that people had ever heard. It was a new kingdom in direct opposition to the kingdom of this world. But what did the kingdom of this world do to Jesus? Rebelled. We rebelled against him. Jesus, who lived a perfect life, serving others, helping the poor and sick, and elevating women, forgiving sinners. He was plotted against, betrayed and beaten, tortured, and then he carried his own cross partway to his execution site. And his execution was one of the most painful ways ever devised to execute somebody, with maximum pain and suffering before death. Jesus experienced the worst that the kingdom of this world had to offer. He experienced evil, betrayal, suffering, pain, torture, and death. And right before he breathed his last breath, you know what he said? He said, "It is finished. It's finished." What was finished? Our sin, the moment Jesus died, was paid for. Our debt for choosing our own way over God's way. The payment for that, the cost of that, is death. And Jesus paid that debt for every one of us in full. Our past, our present, our future sin. It was a final payment. He said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "It will be finished. It might be finished. Someday it will." No, he said, "It is finished." In that moment, there was no other payment necessary for our sin. And why Easter matters so much is because everything about Jesus, his authority, his message, his kingdom, his invitation, it all hinged on what happened next. It's that Jesus didn't stay dead. Like, if he would have, he may have been inspiring, but he wasn't king. If Jesus stayed dead, like, evil wins, sin wins, death wins, Rome wins, the grave wins. And Easter, it just becomes like this sentimental tradition for people who like brunch and pastels and eggs bunnies and like inspirational quotes once a year. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity is this invitation into a new kingdom. A new way of living, a new way of being human. And we're going to talk about how the resurrection of Jesus changes everything about our world today. So let's talk about the first way that the resurrection of Jesus changes our world. It's the resurrection vindicates Jesus as king. You know, Christianity exists because of an event. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like, Jesus' death is meaningless without the resurrection. Like, if you look at every other religion on this planet, the followers of that religion makes pilgrimages to where the founder's body is buried. So Islam goes to the Green Dome in Saudi Arabia. That's where they find their founder, Muhammad. He is buried there. The grave of Confucius is visited by his followers in Shandong province in China. Buddhists go to Kushinagar, India. It's the main site where Buddha's remains were cremated and partially stored there. Go on down the list. Every major religion in our world has a founder that is dead and in a grave somewhere, except for one. I can take you to Israel right now and show you an empty tomb where they believe Jesus' body was there for 3 days. Christianity, the only belief system in the world where we make pilgrimages to an empty grave, because our founder, Jesus Christ, is not in the grave. He is alive. He is risen just like he predicted. Yes, you can say amen to that. Because it's true. His body's never been found because there isn't one to be found. So the empty tomb, it is God's verdict on Jesus. It's heaven's public declaration that Jesus was not mistaken. He wasn't delusional. He's not overconfident. He wasn't like a moral teacher with this tragic end. The resurrection is really God's yes to everything Jesus said. It's an explanation point saying that everything Jesus said is true. And Jesus went into the darkest place that the human story has to offer. He went to the grave, and he emerged victorious on the other side. So the cross is not the collapse of his kingdom. It was actually the confrontation by which the kingdom of God actually came in power, after which Jesus said this in Matthew 28. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And so Easter confronts us with a risen king, a man who claimed to be God, did miraculous things, predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, and then he pulled it off in absolutely historical fashion. It's so historically documented that if you do the research on Jesus, if you would just take the time and research Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, it is one of the most well-documented events in antiquity by both religious and secular historians. Which tells us what? Jesus is a risen king of the kingdom of God. And only a king can claim your allegiance. Only a king can reorder your life. And Easter says that Jesus has that right to do that. But the resurrection doesn't just tell us who Jesus is and vindicate him as king. It tells us what kind of power he has. The second way the resurrection changes everything is the resurrection breaks the power of the old kingdom. You know, the greatest power the kingdom of this world has is death. But thankfully, because of the resurrection, that's the power of the old kingdom. And that old kingdom has powerful weapons. And let me just talk to you about the weapons that this world uses against you and against me. It uses sin that traps you in destructive patterns. Uses shame that accuses you and demeans you. It uses lies that distort reality, fear that controls you, and death that threatens us all. That's how the old kingdom works. It keeps people bound. It tells you that you're never going to change. It tells you that you are what you've done. It tells you that your worst moments get the final word for your life. Your value, it's based on what you produce. It keeps you smiling on the outside while quietly drowning on the inside. It tells you that your addiction is your identity. Tells you that your failure is your future. Your shame is your name. And that death, that's the end of your story. And a lot of people live under that kingdom every day. You know what that kingdom produces? A sickness in our soul from the poison of sin. And every remedy that the world offers to fix it just leads to more sickness. That's the kingdom that Jesus stepped into. And when you look at his 3 years of ministry on this earth, who did he spend a majority of his time with? People who were sick in their souls. Sinners, adulterers, prostitutes, tax collectors, via moral, people who made every wrong choice in their life. And the religious people, they were like outraged at Jesus. They're like, Jesus, you're supposed to be with the good people. The ones who are doing all the right stuff, the church-going folk, the rule followers, the clean, healthy people. And so they confront Jesus with this. They're like, why are you hanging out with those people? And I love Jesus' response. This is what he says. He's like, Mark 2, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. I've come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came to call people who aren't perfect and don't have it all together. He came for those people. And I'm like, I'm a pastor, so that's not me, but that's all of you. No, it's all of us. Trust me. Don't ask my wife and kids, but it's all of us. But if you're honest about the state of your heart, if you're honest about the reality of your struggle, if you're honest about the truth of your lack of self-control and the depth of your sin, then Jesus and his kingdom is the answer to the forgiveness that you long for and the righteousness that you were created to have through Jesus so you could be in right standing with God. So the kingdom of God, it is not for the perfect. It is for those of us who are humble enough to admit that we're broken. And we are desperate for the mercy of King Jesus. And when someone repents and surrenders their life to Jesus, he breaks the power of the old kingdom. He breaks the power of sin in our lives. He breaks the authority of this world. Does worry rule your life? Does it rule your life? Because of the power of Jesus, that power is broken. Worry doesn't rule your life anymore. Does hurt just rule your life right now? Because of the power of Jesus, that power is broken. Does addiction rule your life? Because of the power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, that power is broken in your life. Does greed rule your life? Sexual sin rule your life? You know that power that it has over you is broken in Jesus Christ because the power of the resurrection breaks the power of the old kingdom? Like when you step across the line of faith, this becomes true of you. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. In Jesus, you become a new creation, a citizen of a new kingdom. The power of the old kingdom that once controlled your desires is broken through the death and power of the resurrection of Jesus. We get to share in that, Romans 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, for sin shall no longer be your master. Because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Sin, shame, fear, and death no longer has the final word. Colossians 2, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ Jesus, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. For those who know Jesus, think about this. The charges against you were nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago, and they died with Jesus. You now share in his death, and you are free from the power of the old kingdom to live completely different lives as citizens of heaven. You're a new creation in Jesus, and healing is available to you. Healing physically, healing mentally, healing spiritually. It's available to you through the power and the freedom of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So the resurrection vindicates Jesus as king, breaks the power of the old kingdom, and lastly, the resurrection makes new life possible. Now, you know, one of the biggest misunderstandings that people have about Easter is that it's about only life after death. Now, it is that. Christians absolutely believe that because Jesus rose, death is not the end for those who believe in Jesus and belong to him. It is a beginning and a new reality called heaven. But Easter is not only about what happens after you die. It is also about what can happen before you die. Romans 6, 4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. You know, that's exactly what all of us are looking for. But like when you really listen to people, what most people are looking for, it is not just improvement. Most people are looking for renewal. Renewal. Most of us are looking for something deeper than behavior management. We're looking for a life that is not constantly ruled by regret, ruled by fear, exhaustion, shame, and emptiness. We're looking for a way to be made new. That's what we want. And so Easter yells from the rooftops that in Jesus, that kind of new life, it's not wishful thinking. It's not hype. It's not positive self-talk. It's real. It's possible. And it is available now. You can have new life now. And what does that new life now mean? It means new life means a new identity is what it means. And I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of you. You are living under names that Jesus never gave you. Names like failure, addict, divorced, dirty, angry, bitter, too broken, too late. Some of you, you are still being defined by what was done to you. Some of you are defined by what you have done. Some of you are being defined right now by the worst seasons of your life. And others of you, you're still trying to find your identity. You're trying to find it in your success, your image, your money, your achievement, which is here today and gone tomorrow, by the way. But when you come under the reign of Jesus and his kingdom, your deepest identity is no longer built on your sin. It's no longer built on your scars or your past or your performance or other people's opinion. Your identity is now rooted in Jesus. That's where your identity comes from. You are forgiven. What's your identity in Jesus Christ? You're loved. You're chosen. You're made new. You're brought near. You are a son and a daughter. You are a citizen of a different kingdom. That doesn't mean that your story disappears. It means that your story gets redeemed. That's what that means. It means that the truest thing about you is no longer what ruled you before. The truest thing about you is who God says you are. And what does he say, Galatians 4? You're no longer a slave to all the things that have enslaved you until now. But you're God's child. And since you're his child, God's made you also an heir. You have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. It's God's son or daughter. New life means a new identity. New life also means a new freedom. A new freedom, not like instant perfection. Doesn't mean a pain-free life. It doesn't mean a temptation-free life where all your problems just kind of go away. But it does mean that sin is no longer your master. Shame is no longer your owner. Your past is no longer your prison. You don't have to stay trapped in the old kingdom's patterns. And some of you know exactly what that feels like because you've tried to change yourself. You have made promises. You've turned over new leaves. You've said, no, this time I mean it. And it may have worked for a little while, but you have found yourself right back in the same place. And I'll tell you why you find yourself back in the same place when you try and do it on your own all the time is because Jesus did not come to make bad people better or try harder. Jesus came to make dead people alive. That's what he does. And when he makes you alive, there is real freedom. Not freedom to do whatever you want, but freedom from what has been destroying you. Freedom to become who God made you to be. Freedom for you to tell the truth. Freedom to stop pretending. Freedom to repent, to forgive, to heal, to obey. Everywhere the Lord's Spirit shows up, 2 Corinthians 3, for the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. What does the Spirit of the Lord give us? It's the ability to live with clean hands and an open heart before God. So new life now means a new identity, new freedom, and new life means new direction. New direction. See, before Jesus, you may have been driven by whatever was loudest or strongest or the tyranny of the urgent in your life. And so what does that mean? That means that fear drove you, approval drove you, desire, anger, comfort, ambition was your driver. But under the reign of Jesus, suddenly everything gets reoriented. You're no longer wandering without a king. You're no longer building everything around yourself as king. You begin to live with purpose and alignment and clarity and hope. That's what the resurrection opens up. It's not just a future heaven someday, but a new direction starting today because Jesus rose. You're no longer defined by what ruled you or trapped you in the old kingdom's limits. You're no longer stuck being who you used to be. In the kingdom of God, change is not just possible, it's actually promised. Jesus promises you that if you follow him, he will change you from the inside out. That's why Easter is such good news. It's about new life starting now. It's an invitation to step into a new kingdom reality with Jesus as king and experience new life. And that means there's three invitations in the room today. For some of you, this is the moment to trust Jesus as king for the first time. And you may not know much. You might still have questions. That's okay. The invitation of Jesus has never been, hey, figure everything out, get your stuff together, and then come see me. The invitation of Jesus into his kingdom has always been, trust me. Just trust me. To trust Jesus means more than just agreeing that he existed and that he was good and being a religious person. It really is belief in Jesus. It's allegiance. It's trust. It's saying, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. You are God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. I believe you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again, and I am placing my life underneath your reign as king. And I'll tell you, for some of you, your moment is today. This is the moment where you have a before and an after. And nothing's ever the same. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that choice in just a moment. But there's a second invitation today that's so important. For some of you, the invitation is not a first start, but it's a fresh start. You know Jesus, but you've been distant. You have had divided loyalties, and so you are numb, you are wandering, and maybe there was a season that your faith was alive, but you have now drifted. You got hurt, you got distracted, you got disappointed, you got busy, you got compromised. And now, if you're honest, you are physically present, but spiritually very, very far from God. I want you to hear this clearly. Resurrection life means that you're not disqualified, if that's you. You are not disqualified. You're not too far gone to come home. The heart of God towards the wandering is not cold irritation. It is open-armed mercy. If you've been running away from God, the moment you turn back, this is what you see. You don't see this. You just see this. Your Heavenly Father waiting for you to come back, come home. Easter is God's announcement that the door is still open, that you can return. You can return. You can stop living divided. You can stop pretending. You can stop running. The kingdom is still open to you because the King is alive. So the question is, would you come home today? Would you come home to Jesus today? Then there's a third invitation here. It's for some of you who you're not sure what you believe yet, but you're curious. I want to just tell you that this church is a safe place where I want to invite you to explore the kingdom of God honestly. No pressure, no fake smile that you needed. You don't have to act like you have it all together. You just come here. You keep listening. You keep asking. You keep seeking. We want to journey with you and help you. But I'm going to say this with love. At some point, every honest exploration about God leads to a decision about Jesus. You're going to have to decide. Because the resurrection of Jesus doesn't leave him in the category of interesting. It actually places him in the category of Lord. And you will have to choose. Because someday, every knee will bow to Jesus. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And you can do it this side of the next life. And that decision impacts your eternity. You can do it on the other side, and that impacts your eternity too. So let me ask you a question directly. What are you going to do with Jesus? What will you do with him? What are you going to do with Jesus? Because if he rose, then he is king. And if he is king, then your right response, it is not like this casual curiosity forever. It is to surrender. It is to surrender to the king of the kingdom of heaven. And so here's what I want to do. I want to give all of us in the room an opportunity to respond to Jesus in prayer. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Everybody in the room. I want to be clear, there's nothing magical about repeating certain words. Like, prayer is not a formula. It is just a way of expressing trust. What matters in these moments is just the posture of your heart before God. But for some people, it helps to have words to begin. So if today you are trusting Jesus as King for the first time, you are opening the door to your heart to Him because He's been knocking. I want to invite you to pray with me, and you just borrow my words, say them from your heart to God's, or you can say them out loud if you want, but you can just repeat and just say, Jesus, I need you. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again. I turn from my old life and I place my trust in you. Forgive me. Make me new. Be my Savior and my King. I give you my life. Teach me to follow you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. And with every head bowed and eye closed, I want to ask you that if you just prayed that prayer with me, would you raise your hand up high and just say, I made a decision today. Just raise your hand up high. Don't be ashamed of God. He's not ashamed of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today's a big day for you. Your life now has a before and an after. And it starts today. For those of you who have been wandering and today you hear the voice of God just saying to you, come home. Just come home. And you're ready to return to your faith. Ready to return to Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity to choose today who you're going to serve. And if you're coming back to faith, I want to invite you to just pray with me a very simple prayer. It's a prayer of return. Say it from your heart to God, or say it out loud if you want, but just say, Jesus, today I come home to you. I've drifted. I've been divided. And I've gone my own way. But today I turn back to you. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that because you rose again, my story is not over. Please forgive me. Restore me. Make me new again. I surrender every part of my life back to you. Lead me forward from this day on. And with every head still bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer with me, would you just acknowledge that a decision has been made today by just raising up your hand? Just put it up there high. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that it's never too late to turn towards you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for revealing yourself, who you are, how much you love us. Thank you that we can be made new. God, this morning I pray for every single person that just raised their hand. Would you just bring new life, new life, new life? Now. God, for those that are just not sure yet, would you open their hearts, open their minds to this journey that you have called them to explore and find out who you are. Just reveal yourself to them. Reveal yourself to them every single day. Lord, help us bring light into this world. Help us shine the power of your resurrection through our lives as we live them for you. And Lord, we're grateful for the new life you've given us. In your holy name, amen.